This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Debbie Elliott. As Democrats set their sights on the U.S. Senate this fall, a key battleground is Tennessee and the seat of retiring Majority Leader Bill Frist. Thursday, Tennessee Republicans will choose their candidate. The presumptive Democratic nominee is Congressman Harold Ford, Jr. If he wins, he'll be the first black senator from the Old South since Reconstruction. His most loyal supporters, like the ministers gathered at this campaign event in Nashville last week, see an almost biblical dimension to his rise.
Jonathan saw something on David, which was a special anointing on David, that he will be king.
Reverend Jerry Maynard introduces the special guest.
And as leaders in our community, I'm hoping that you will see the anointing that I saw on this man, Harold Ford Jr., 10 years ago. Without further ado, I want to introduce to you the next United States Senator for the state of Tennessee. The next Senator of the state of Tennessee, my good friend, your good friend, Congressman Harold Ford Jr.
Congressman Ford is among friends here. He's greeted with handshakes and warm hugs. Shortly after he steps to the podium, he takes on what could potentially be his albatross in this election.
Big crazy family back in Memphis who I love and can't help but love. Somebody should say amen.
That big crazy family is a political powerhouse. The Tennessee Fords have held office in Congress, the State House, and in city and county government for more than three decades. But along with the success has come scandal. His father, former Congressman Harold Ford Sr., was indicted and acquitted on bank fraud charges. His uncle Emmett was convicted of insurance fraud. His aunt Ophelia got mixed up in a voting fraud scandal and was removed from the state Senate. She was not implicated herself. And his uncle John, a former state senator, is set to go on trial just before the election this fall in a federal corruption case. In an interview, Ford challenged those who would make his family an issue.
I love my family, and there's nothing that anybody can say to bring any distance between me or any member of my family. And I say to my opponents who have made a point in this race that if you have the recipe for picking family, send it to me. If you don't, be quiet. Let's run for the Senate.
Harold Ford Jr. is the first Ford from his generation to win public office. He's 36 years old, with tightly cropped hair and penetrating eyes. He exudes confidence on the campaign trail, the confidence of a seasoned political veteran. You could say his political career dates back to 1974, when he was just 4 years old and his father was running for U.S. Congress.
Was there ever a question that this was what you would be doing with your life?
My dad never forced it on me. Matter of fact, my mother was not crazy about it.
But weren't you kind of always there in his campaign?
Oh, no.
Helping?
I loved it. To that extent. I mean, I did a radio commercial for my dad when he first ran. I said, if you want better schools, better housing, and lower cookie prices, go vote for my dad. I didn't know what he did. I just liked the fact that he dressed up every day, and I started doing that. And I would go to work with him when I wasn't in school. And I mean, I loved it.
It wouldn't surprise me if his first conscious memory as a human being was wanting to run for some high office.
Michael Nelson is a professor of political science at Rhodes College in Memphis. When we met him, Nelson pulled out a T-shirt from Ford's first run for Congress in 96.
And look where your eye is directed here, to the junior. In other words, he was running as daddy's son. I mean, I can just imagine him and his buddies talking about, so what are you going to do after law school? Well, I'm going to run for Congress, and I'm almost certainly going to win because it's my daddy's seat. But Junior, and now, of course, he's running as his own man. So it just shows how his political career has unfolded.
Ford moved to Washington, D.C. as a child and had all the advantages of a congressman's son. He attended an elite prep school and went on to an Ivy League college. In his final year of law school, his father announced that he would not be running again, opening the door for Harold Ford Jr. to run for the seat. Ford calls his father his best friend and mentor. The night he first won his House seat, he asked his dad for guidance.
I have two pieces of advice. I'm taking out a pad, I had a little thing in my side pocket, and I'm writing it down. He said, number one, always take care of the people. I wrote that down. I said, what's the second one? He goes, you got the first one? I said, yeah. He goes, number two, always take care of the people.
Helping people in their time of need is the family business. Harold Ford Jr.'s grandfather started N.J. Ford & Son's funeral home in South Memphis back in 1932. His uncle Joe, also a county commissioner, runs the business today. There are four Fords on the ballot this week in Memphis, including Joe Ford Jr., a cousin who is running for Harold Ford's congressional seat. You see bumper stickers, billboards, and yard signs for one Ford or another on practically every corner. At Interstate Barbecue, just a few blocks from the N.J. Ford & Son's funeral home, three young men are eager to talk about the Senate race.
We've known him for a while. His father, absolutely, my father voted for his father. And we've always just known the Fords.
The Fords and our family in the city of Memphis, they go way back. All the way back from our grandfather's pastor, and then his actual grandfather was running the funeral home business. So, yeah, you know, long history there with the Ford family.
Jay Mickens, Trey Collins, and Lee Ewing are cousins. They're on lunch break from work at the Ewing Moving Service. Lee Ewing glows with pride when he thinks about a Ford victory.
It's historic to actually think that an African-American from the South could actually be in the Senate. I mean, this is Tennessee. I mean, place Dr. King took his last breath. I mean, riots in 68. I mean, all types of things. So, you know. But I think it would be good, though, especially for Tennessee and for the South in general, for African-American people all around. They get to see an actual young brother come up. So,
politics in Memphis have changed since Harold Ford Sr. became the first African-American congressman elected from Tennessee in 1974. Political analyst Michael Nelson says the elder Ford made his name taking on the white political establishment in Memphis.
Anytime there was any issue on which he was criticized by the mainstream media or white political leaders, he would play the race card to kind of reinforce that sense of "I'm your man" to his constituents.
But by the time Harold Ford Jr. ran for the congressional seat in 1996, African Americans were well on the way to becoming the political establishment in the predominantly black city.
He had to present himself in a new way, and he did. I mean, he comes down here, he's extremely well-educated, he is extremely polished, he's actually quite conservative, especially on issues related to economic development, creating a good climate for business.
Ford favors public display of the Ten Commandments, is for cutting federal spending and tightening border security. He voted to authorize the war in Iraq and repeal the estate tax. These stances have put him at odds with some Democrats, fellow members of the Congressional Black Caucus, and old-time family friends like Memphis Judge D'Army Bailey.
Well, compromise begets more compromise begets more compromise.
Bailey cut his political teeth during the struggle for civil rights. While he does plan to vote for Harold Ford Jr., Bailey charges this young congressman who represents a poor black urban constituency has been redesigning himself to satisfy his statewide ambitions.
If you're looking for the most popular position to take on the toughest issues in order to reach the largest number of people, then the people who really ought to be served through politics get lost in the shuffle.
But Alabama Democrat Artur Davis defends Harold Ford Jr.'s voting record, which is still the most liberal of the Tennessee delegation. Davis, another member of the Congressional Black Caucus, says Ford's positions reflect the values of the people he represents.
Classic example, the federal marriage amendment was on the floor. Neither Harold Ford nor I believe in bigotry or discrimination. On the other hand, I think both of us believe that marriage has worked pretty well as an institution, and there's no compelling reason to change the nature of that institution. Now, the overwhelming majority of our colleagues in the CBC disagreed with that, and they're entitled to that opinion, but I think that the people in Tennessee and Alabama are frankly much closer to Harold Ford and Artur Davis on those points than some of our colleagues.
On the campaign trail, Harold Ford Jr. makes no apologies for his record.
There was another Democrat from where I'm from who kind of got it, too. His name's Bill Clinton. That's a tradition that I come from, balancing the budget, your values playing a little bit of a big role in who you are.
And it's the position that will help him reach the predominantly white, often Republican voters that populate East and Middle Tennessee, an audience he's been courting on the campaign and through frequent appearances on conservative media outlets like Fox News and the Don Imus Show. Ford made a stop this past week in Summitville, a small town between Nashville and Chattanooga. He toured a local plant that makes biodiesel fuel from soybean oil. Energy policy is something he talks about a lot as voters grumble about gas prices. When he left Summitville, we stayed behind to talk with voters in this rural landscape.
Hey, how about that cow food up? You've been feeding them goat food. Shouldn't them cows get cow food?
There's no better place to talk politics than Summitville Grain and Feed. Mug boots surround the counter here. There's a flyer posted for a purebred Angus bull, $2,000 negotiable. The large, cool space is stacked with bags of puppy food and goat dewormer. Daryl Hitchcock, a nursery worker from the next county over, loads a bag of dog food into the back of his pickup.
I'll probably vote Republican.
Why is that?
Just too much in the history of the background of the Fords for my, you know, my own opinion, you know.
Others here seem more willing to consider Ford's candidacy. Philip Anderson is a farmer.
Lower down, most time I vote Democrat, and higher up I vote Republican.
Why is that?
Because I vote the same people like I believe in. I'm a hunter and a business person.
Anderson says he's impressed with Ford's positions on the things that matter to him, like morals.
Oh, he sounds good to me. I mean, he's kind of for what I'm for. I mean, he's for, you know, people having guns and freedom, you know. Yeah. But who I vote for now, I ain't gonna say.
What do you think when you think about a candidate who's come from Memphis?
Well, that may hurt him a little bit. It makes a difference, don't you, Suzanne?
Suzanne North sells crop insurance to farmers like Philip Anderson, her uncle. The 30-year-old used to live in Memphis, met Ford once, and is now one of his biggest supporters in Coffee County. She knows what he's up against in this part of the state.
People here don't understand the culture from Memphis. They consider it not Tennessee. There's such a big spread in the state as far as like the main cities that we don't hear any of their news, and we don't hear like what they do locally, so it seems like they're kind of foreign to people from Middle and East Tennessee.
But do you think the underlying reason for what you're talking about is kind of a race thing?
Oh, absolutely. And that's so sad, but I think it really is.
Congressman Ford would disagree.
When I signed up for this, I knew that the state was about 600 miles long. I wasn't surprised when I got in the race, and I wasn't surprised about the demographics of the state at all. So,
do you not think the voters of Tennessee look at those things? Look at party, look at race?
They may, but I don't. I got a message, I got a set of values, and I got a set of ideas, and I'm just trying my hardest to convince enough people to vote for me. And I don't subscribe to these paradigms of race and party and all that. Some people might, maybe you, maybe some of your listeners, but I don't.
Harold Ford Jr.'s strategy will be put to the test when the Republicans consolidate behind one candidate after Thursday's three-way primary. To hear more about that race and see pictures from Tennessee, go to our website, npr.org.